sensitive power heads. Let's pray. Brother Woolman family couldn't make it to church. They have transport problems and Hadassah is not well. Brother Vlad and family have transport problems and the children are not well. Brother Duga and family have transport problems. And Sister Victoria as well, she's flying, so let's remember her in prayer. Also, Brother Mike, his son Junior, is not well. So we have a lot of sickness, problems with transport, so let's put this before the Lord. Amen. Father, we come unto thee, Lord, in your precious name. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us grace to be in this place. And how we would long to be with your sons and your daughters, our brothers and our sisters, Lord. Father, that is why we just unite our faith together, Lord, to curse the enemy. Father, all that you have designed to do. Father, we do not accept the situation, Lord. We do not accept the way that things are, Lord. But even as you spoke in Egypt, and you said, let my sons go and worship me. Father, we pray that you'd go forth even now. You should start to work in these things, Father, to resolve these things one by one. With this sickness, Lord, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We stand against with this transport problems, Lord. Father, you are the solution to every problem. So we bring it up unto thee upon this day. May you be glorified, Lord, that you may rejoice with your sons and your daughters in your house on Friday when people will come to call upon the name and pray. Whatever would stand in the way, Lord, Father, we're asking of you, Father, to assume the responsibility, Lord. We're asking of you, Lord, just to move and to work according unto your perfect will, Father, because you desire, Lord, to fellowship with your people. Father, you delight in the praises of your people. So, Father, we bring in these things up unto you. And Father, us that are gathered in this house, we're so glad to be here. Won't you just bless us in our fellowship one with another, Lord? Won't you, Father, commune with us, Lord? Thank you for worship. Help us now to open up your word. Father, we dedicate all to be with our sister Victoria as she travel, Lord. Bless you with your richest blessings. Watch over her, Lord. Guide her footsteps, Lord. You said the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. We trust in thee, Lord, and do thank you, Father, for every petition we give unto thee, coming to sit at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's open the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Just realizing there are a lot of people away and different things like that, but still we'd like to just have fellowship together.
Amen.
Fellowship is a good thing. So we just want to give a bit of a report on the trip we just had. We really thank the Lord for a wonderful time. And I thought it was a good thing to come back to the saints. Let's read Ephesians 2 from 8 to 10. This is a scripture somebody read there on the weekend. A familiar scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I really like that thought. You know, so we are his workmanship. So he is the one who's been working inside our lives, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So every single one of us have been called and regenerate to bring forth certain good works.
Amen.
And which are these works? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
So God has ordained us to walk in a certain path, to do certain things for his glory, for his kingdom, each and every one of us, because we're his workmanship, and he's ordained that we should walk in these things. So it's a wonderful thing, his purpose and his plan. You may be seated, saints. Just going to show some slides here, just to get a little bit of a background, just to what you wanted to say, but just to really thank the saints for their prayers, for this journey which we took to Czech Republic. So I thought maybe just to come and just do a little bit of a background on this, or just a Czech report here. We go to the first slide, please, sister, if you wouldn't mind. Just to show in Czech, so Czech Republic is a real, real interesting place. Czech Republic has... Thanks, it's coming there, I'm sure. Czech Republic, so we can get on to this a little bit. Czech Republic has the highest level of atheism in the whole of Europe. More than 60% of people there say that they're atheists. They don't believe anything. It was a communist country. It was under that kind of regime. It's quite a hard place, just like politically and so forth. But one thing which is the most precious thing about the works of the Lord, he has his people everywhere.
Amen.
So when we were coming on the train the other day, we were getting back to Prague. We were with a certain brother, Brother Pavel, who was We stayed at his house. We were speaking to this one young man in the carriage. He was a student, and he was an atheist. And it's just an incredible thing to think that somebody can grow up their whole life never knowing anything about God, never hearing anything about the gospel, not knowing about eternal life, not knowing about hell, not believing any of those things. Now, the only thing which he knew is like the Christmas story a little bit because of the traditions at Christmas. But you have a country like that. Yeah, it's quite a challenge for the believers that are there. But one thing I'll say about the saints that are there, and Brother Burgess was there some years back, we went once with him and with Brother Vlad, is the saints, they are doing a tremendous job. Now, the saints there, they really, really are doing a tremendous job for the kingdom of God. It's a real inspiration to see the saints there. We went to this little place here called Cienkowice. It's right in the mountains. This is where the orders have their family camp. And they have their youth meeting there once a year as well. The saints, they have four youth meetings a year. They spread them around. There's Poland over here, so they normally have one or two in the south of Poland. Brother Zalesz, the saints we were with, they based around this area over here near the border. So the orders have at least one meeting there as well. And then they have their main youth meeting there about a month before their family camp in the same place where we were. And they normally have about 250 young people. And I've testified a bit before how the Lord is really blessing for the work that's there. It's really a powerful thing to see. They focus so much at first on their youth. The age of youth, maybe from 12 up to 22, around that age. I remember first time I went, 2008. They just had started on their youth work. And then the Lord really blessed them over the years. They've really brought in such a wonderful harvest of the youth. So the last 2-3 years, now they've been focusing on the younger youth, from the age of 8 up to 12. Mm-hmm. And they've been having special meetings for those young people. They've been bringing a certain brother from America. I don't know him. It's called Brother Wesley. They say that he's such a gifted brother dealing with those young people. And you taking those children from 8 to 12, like the brothers were saying, they're saying even to get children to sit 30 minutes, 45 minutes at that age isn't an easy thing. But over this last 2 years, they had a real, real capping off event with those young people this year. This brother ministers to them each day until finally the Lord so visited them this time. The brother said that those young people, 8, 9 years old, were praying for each other for over 2 hours.
Amen.
Such a powerful thing. You know, some of the young people that are there, you can really see it with them. And the great lesson which I learned ever since I've been there, and sometimes we really need to pray for the Lord to help us on these things, is that what a man reaps, that shall he sow. And these brothers have so faithfully labored in their vineyard. You know, they've so faithfully labored in the field that the Lord has given them. And they've had a vision, and they stick with the vision.
Hallelujah.
The saints that are there, when you're with them, they're not interested in the politics of the message. They're not interested in who's better than who else, and what's happening over here, what's happening over there. They realize they have a responsibility. And their responsibility, they're focusing on a lot, is their children, is their young people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go there, I was there 7 years ago, and then you go now and you find some of those youth have grown up and they're married with children and so forth, and they really, really are going on so well with the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah.
I was saying that you can tell in the car, I said, today I was listening to a song Jimmy Swaggart sang a long time back. That it, Lord, it's beginning to rain. I don't know if the saints know this song. On your sons and your daughters. It's a real wonderful thing. And he takes that scripture, the promise in the prophecy, where it says, I will pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. And I was thinking that, you know, if we could have that vision as well, instead of getting involved in anything else in this world, but if that could be our vision, to see that, to say, Lord, the greatest reward, the greatest burden and desire that we could have is that you pour out your spirit upon our sons and our daughters. That's the way we'd really get something. And the saints there, they've had that vision for some years, and it's been a wonderful thing to see the way that things have opened up for them. If you go to the next slide there, please, sister. This is Brother Zalesz. I'm sure the saints, they remember him when he came some years back. For some reason, there we go. The next one, sister, if you can. If it will move. Brother Zalesz is the brother who he's been a minister since 1960. Sorry, this is the place where we went. They always have the meeting in this place. It's a hotel complex right up in the mountains. You can have, you know, room for 200 and something people, whatever. And then you have your meetings there. You have everything there. You start off in the mornings, 7:30. It's prayer meeting. Everybody gets together, get on your knees. You call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody just reads the scripture, exhorts for a few minutes, and everybody prays.
Hallelujah.
Straight away, 7:30, you go for breakfast, 8 o'clock. It's nothing luxurious in those places there. It's good, just like being back in Africa again. Yeah. It's a good thing. Then at 8 o'clock you eat your breakfast. 9:30 is quiet time. Then every time they look at service, they have a timetable for quiet time. You know, they say, well, quiet time is at 9:30. 10 o'clock they have song worship and then into the morning service. Then we had the one day, I'll show you just now, Brother Owen Jorgensen, the brother who wrote the supernatural books. He was there, so he was just passing through. So in the afternoon, he came and he gave his testimony. It was a wonderful testimony, thanks, Brad, about how the Lord led him to write those books. I'll speak about that just now. Just a real, real wonderful thing. And then you come 5:30, meal time, 6:30, quiet time, 7 o'clock in the evening, you have service once again. You know, so we had that all through the days. They started Thursday evening, then there were three services because Brother Owen was there on Friday. Then plus a prayer meeting, then prayer meeting, two services on Saturday, prayer meeting and one service on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And there were saints from all different places around. I'll show you from here. This is Germany here. So there came some saints from Germany as well, including one minister from there, some saints from Slovakia. There were even some believers came from Armenia, some new believers that had come from there. And then obviously Poland, from the south of Poland. And then the believers in Czech are mainly centered in the eastern part, which is mainly the poorer part. When you get to Prague and the riches and all of that, there's just a couple of families who live there. But the majority of the believers are on this part here. Mm-hmm. And they do gather together. So there was quite a number of different people, different ministers that were there. And it was really fine to meet them. So that's the place. That's Brother Zalich. I'm sure the saints do remember him. Brother Zalich has a real powerful testimony. I remember the first time I ever met him, we'd gone to Slovakia. I went with Brother Vlad because he said, "Brother, let's go. The brothers are having a convention in 2007. I think it was October. And Brother Vlad said, "Brother, I've spoken to the saints there. They're having a convention, having five meetings. They've asked you please to come and take two." I said, "That'll be wonderful. Let's go and meet the saints." So Brother Vlad and I, firstly applied for my visa. I remember that journey. Went here to Dublin, went down to the Slovak embassy, put my things in. I said, "Look, I'm flying on whatever Friday." They said, "Okay, come on the Friday morning, get your visa and you can go. We're flying at lunchtime, I think." Brother Vlad and I met him in the morning, went down to the embassy there in Bulls Bridge. Got there, it was a public holiday in Slovakia, the embassy was closed. So we had about 3 hours to go now to get to the airport, and the embassy was closed. But it was so powerful. Because while I'd been praying that week, I really knew the Lord had really put something upon my heart which needed to be said. So I knew somehow we're going to go to this place. I said, "Look, Brother Vlad, let's go inside and just knock on the door of the embassy." Amen. So we went and we knocked on the door of the embassy and somebody came and opened. They were painting the place. Somebody was inside painting because it was a public holiday. The man said, "What do you want?" I said, "Please. Hey, the consul told me to come and get my passport this morning." The man says, "Okay, no problem." And he went and he phoned.
Hallelujah.
And then the consul came and gave me my passport and he stole it to the embassy. And I saw from there straight away that this is really wonderful when the Lord is doing something. Amen. So we got there. I remember speaking to Gitana that week when I was praying about those meetings. I had said it to her, I said, "You know, normally I don't like to go somewhere and have to take the first meeting. You know, the first meeting is always the hard meeting. Yeah, people come and you know, they're still thinking about the college and they're thinking about, you know, they left this at home and they shouldn't be here or they shouldn't, this person shouldn't be here," whatever people are thinking about. So it's normally good to have some like an evangelist, someone who can stir things up at first. But I said to Gitana that week, I said, "I don't know why I'm feeling it, but I'm feeling these saints are going to, I'm going to have to take this first meeting. So let me really prepare for that." And so we got there in the evening. We stayed at the pastor's house overnight. The convention was starting the next day. Then in the morning, he took us up to this convention place in Slovakia. It was in the forest somewhere. Got there, and he sort of took me to a room. And inside of the room, there was a brother who was sitting there. And the brother was studying with his Bible. And the saints know him, it was Brother Janko Thomas. He was here a couple of years back, Brother Jan Thomas. He was with us in Dublin. Very fine brother. And he was sitting there, and I was introduced to him, and I said, "God bless you, brother." And he said, "No." He said, "Where are you from?" And then he said, "Brother, I'm just so tired." I said, "Why?" And he says, "No, we came from Serbia. They live in Serbia." He said, "We drove all night coming on the minibus. We had to drive all through Serbia, through whatever countries you have to come to get to the meeting." So I said, "Hey, brother, that's quite hard." He says, "I'm so tired." And inside of my heart, I said, "If you ask me," he said to me, he said, "Hey, do you think you could do the service?" So I said, "Hey, brother, I don't know if that's such a good idea. Have you not been given the first service? Then he said, ah, brother, but I'm just so tired. He said, if you could maybe just do it. I said, okay, brother, if you give me about 30 minutes to prepare, I think let me take the first service. And I went inside of the service, and I remember walking in the back, and the saints started to sing. And the Lord really came down on me, and I started to weep. I just felt so burdened for something. I didn't realize at that time that the saints, they were having such a lot of problems. You know, it's good, Brother Vlad never told me all of their problems, as we probably wouldn't have gone. You know, you want to go and get involved in problems. You know, all these different believers from different places, and the church, the host pastor, his church had broken up. It was breaking up because he went and married somebody who wasn't from the message. He had gone down to Ukraine, and he married a certain sister who now is a message believer. But it caused such a big fuss and a stir, and there was all these things going on with doctrine. And I didn't know that, and I just got in the pulpit, and I took that message, losing the vision, yeah, about those kind of things. And that's the first time I ever met this saint's no brother, Daniel Mazur, who's been there a few times as well. He was sitting there with his father, who's now passed away. And Brother Zalish was also there. He was going to take the next day's meeting, and he was sitting there. And the Lord really gave me such a favor that day with those saints. It was really such a blessed time. And straight after the service, Brother Zalis came to me and he shook my hand and he said, Brother, that was oil for an old pastor's heart. That's how he said it to me, for it was real oil. Then he said, why don't you come up to my room? And that's the first time I'd ever met him. And I went up to his room and we became such good friends right from the beginning. I really liked him. And at that time there, he started to tell me, he said, Brother, we've started doing work among our youth. And the Lord really visited us about a month ago, and we baptized 29 of our young people at that time. That's the first time I ever heard about what they were doing in the youth. I said, Brother, that's wonderful to hear. And he said, yes, brother. And he showed me certain photos and different things and told me about how he had prayed for so many of his nephews and his nieces who had come to the Lord. I said, hey, that's real wonderful. And then in that same meeting, like I say, when we were there, I met Brother Daniel Mazur. And Brother Daniel Mazur has been such a good friend to us as well. And Brother Jan Thomas. And when I look back on that, I really do see. And I was reading this morning when the prophet was speaking about when he went to Mishawaka. And he went for that meeting and he didn't know anybody there. You know, you get to those situations. And I was thinking this morning to say that God ordains your friendships for you. No, the footsteps of the right, he'll lead you to where he wants you to go. You may not know. You may desire to do this or that or the other in life. But he knows the people that he wants you to be with. And I've been so glad to meet these believers. Because there are certain believers that you just become so one with them. You know, whenever you meet them, you're so happy to see them. There's just something special about certain people. Because it's like the Lord ordained you to be together. When the prophet went to Mishawaka and he speaks about, you know, how the people said, you know, we want all the ministers. You don't have time for you to preach. Let all the ministers come and just introduce yourselves. And the prophet says, I guess there were about 200 or 300 of them at the platform. And he went up to the platform and he says, I said, Evangelist William Branham, Jeffersonville, Indiana. And I sat down and the next one came and the next on like that. Came to find out I was the youngest man there, 23 years old, when the prophet went there. He says, and I, that night he went out, remember he bought those old stale rolls and he went and he took off out his seat from the car and he was sleeping out there under the cherry tree, he says, and I prayed, God, somehow or another, give me favor with them people. That's what I want. That's what my hungry heart is feeling for. You see, when the prophet went into that meeting and saw those people and saw the way the Lord was dealing with those people, there had been something the prophet all his life had been looking for. And there'd been a certain type of a fellowship, a certain type of a worship, and different things like that he had always longed to see. And when he met these people, you know, although they had their, you know, they weren't perfect people, you know, the one man, the one interpreting tongues was living with someone's wife and those things. But when he met them, the prophet says, that's what my hungry heart is feeling for. That's what it's reaching for. There's a people that I've wanted to see all my life. So there was a deep in the prophet, and when he met certain people, it fulfilled the deep. It's the same as in your life. Because God has ordained you to work together with certain people, to walk together with certain people. You may desire, like the prophet says, when he went, you know, to the places of the Chinese believers and that. It was hard for him to preach. Remember, he was told, you'll only be successful in the West. You know, he says, because when you were born, remember they told him the stars were hanging that way. No, so your footsteps and the way that you made and all that you're supposed to do There's going to be certain people that you're going to be more compatible with than others. Although everybody is a son and daughter of God, but even inside of your own life, there's certain people, like David and Jonathan, that God has ordained certain relationships. That those relationships will stand the test of time.
Amen.
You'll go through good times, Amen. You'll go through bad, but those are not relationships that just began here on earth. This is part of the divine plan of God. And the prophet met those kind of people at Mishawaka. And for the first time inside of himself, he could tell, there's something about these people. I wish I could win the favor of these people.
Hallelujah.
And then when now they were told him to come and preach, and they came and they said, where's William Branham? We know the story. And finally that colored man says, here he is. And then Brother Branham goes up to the front to preach. And he says he was so nervous. He said, I was scared to death. He says, but I thought all my last night, I was praying all night for the Lord to give me favor. Now the Lord's going to let me get up before them. If I won't get anchor to get up before them, then how am I going to get favor? So the prophet realized that this is all part of the plan of God. You know, this isn't my temperament, not my nature, not the way that I'm feeling. But God wants me to go and preach to these people. And the way God knew that, Brother Ram knew that the Lord wanted him to be there, and the way the people knew that Brother Ram was supposed to be with them, was the way that the Lord blessed when he was there. You see, and that was the way that it was done. So he says, not a thing on my mind. He didn't have anything to preach. I was scared and I was trembling. Yeah, and you know, he didn't like the microphone. And he says, and I happened to turn over there to Luke, to the rich man, lifted up his eyes in hell. And I took my text. And then he cried.
Amen.
You know? And then he started to preach. And he says, and I got started. And the people got to screaming. And then I cried. And away it went. And the first thing you know, everyone was on their feet. And this one cried. And that one cried. And next thing I knew, I was out in the yard. And everyone was blessing God. And I am carrying on in the congregation screaming and shouting. I don't know what I did. I just lost myself somewhere. The first thing you know, a big fella from Texas came up. Big 10-gallon hat on and cowboy boots. He said, say, are you an evangelist? I said, yes, sir. How about coming down to Texas and holding me a revival? You see how he started out to meet different people that opened up different doors. That's one thing I love in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You never force anything, never push anything, because he has a plan. We are ordained to work in certain works.
Amen.
We are ordained unto these things, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to walk in these works that he has before ordained for us. So if he's going to want you to work in a certain way, and he's made you in a certain way, there's going to be people he wants you to work with as well. And it's so fine when you find those kinds of people around the world. You know, it's the most blessed thing, being a believer, is that you have people all around the world that you feel at home with.
Amen.
And that's a great blessing. Amen. Just today it was my birthday, as the saints, thanks for the greeting. Amen. I got so many greetings from around the world from different believers. And I felt so moved. I said, Lord, what a privilege that this is. Now these are the sons and daughters of God.
You know,
this is the cream of the crop. This is the tidings of the people. And God allows you to be friends with so many of them. So many real, real powerful ministers in this message. I was thinking of how many people we have passing even through our house over these years gone by. There's some real powerful ministers. Think of Brother Chikosi and Brother Beckett and so many other ministers that you have. And you know, sons and daughters of God visiting and passing by. Friends, it's God's divine favor upon your life. For God to allow you to associate with his sons and daughters. Not just denominational kind of a people, but the real cream of his people. That's the greatest blessing that you can ever have. It's for God to allow you to be associated in time with people that you're ordained to spend eternity with. These eternal sort of relationships. I was thinking of it. I said, Lord, this is such a wonderful thing. You know, to be associated with people like this. You know, and the prophet speaks about that. So it says, then another woman came down and said, she's with the Indians. And she said, while you were preaching, the Lord told me that you should come and help me up there with the Indians. I said, just a minute, let me get a piece of paper. And I went to writing down these names and addresses and mine. I had a string of them that long last May year. My, was I happy. Now, if you had just followed it through, it would have been a story with a lot less sorrow in it. But that was the Lord opening up doors. You know, and I think that really is the key. Now, there was a brother, I'll tell you just now some of the things he preached. A brother from Germany preached a real wonderful message. And he was speaking about that. Now he was speaking about, you know, he spent a lot of time with Brother Peregrine, this brother. And he says, you know, Brother Peregrine always said that, he says, if you wanted to speak about faith, or wanted to speak about how to know the will of God, he says, Brother Peregrine would always give an example like this. He said, it's like if you wanted to bring your ship into the harbor. He says, in those days, he says, maybe even in modern times, they have three lights which they set different places in the harbor. And if you're coming into the harbor, there's a certain channel that you have to go through to get yourself into the haven of rest of the harbor. No, if you can see all three of those lights at any time, they're not lined up yet, you're not on the right heading to make it through at night into the harbor. So you've got to take those three lights, and those three lights, you've got to get them coordinated. The moment they become one light, you know this is the direction. I need to keep this direction. So this is the way that I'm supposed to go. I said, Brother Peregrine always said, that's the way that it is with God's will. That's the way that it is with faith. He says, there's these three lights you've got to get lined up. He says, firstly, you've got to be called to do something. There's got to be a burden in you. There's got to be a desire in you. He says, not just that somebody else is telling you to do something. He says, you've got to feel it yourself, that this is what God wants me to do. This is the way that I feel that I'm supposed to go. I really do believe this is what God wants. He says, that's the first light. If you can line that first light up, check the second light. It's the second light. Is it scriptural for you to do it? Is it according to God's word? Does it contradict the message of the hour? You know, if you can line it up as I'm feeling this desire, I'm feeling this burden, I'm feeling this call, and you can line it up now and say, look, it's scriptural for me to do it. That's the second light that you get lined up. He says, but then there's the third light. And he says, this is the important one. The third light is God has to open the way. Because God has his season and he has his time and he has his way, the prophet says. You may feel to do it. You may see it in the word of God that it needs to be done. I'm not breaking scripture to do this. But yet it's not yet. God has not yet created the circumstances or the time. He hasn't yet opened the door. He hasn't yet gone before in the mulberry trees. That's the third light. And he stressed so much on that one. He says, don't ever force open doors in the kingdom of God. No matter how much you feel to do something, no matter how much you see it scriptural for you to do it, if God doesn't open the door, stay where you are. Because you've only got two of the lights lined up. But when you see God going before, when things start to move, when it's not you moving them, and you're feeling led to do something, and you think it's scriptural for you to do it, and then you see God creating the circumstances for you to do it, you've got your three lights lined up. Now you just push on that course, and you're going to find yourself in the will of God, perfectly doing what he wants. And I think that's a key lesson. And the prophet saw that there. The prophet felt so much, you know, I really want favor with these people. And then how it was, God blessed him in what he was doing, and God had opened up the doors, and now he's got a long list of open doors that have been offered to him. He should have known by that. God had to teach him a lesson, but by that was the will of God. He shouldn't have listened to anybody else. He shouldn't have allowed anything to come in the way, because God had made his will clearly known to him. And I think that's a really important principle. That's a very important principle in life. Always make sure you can line those things up inside of your own life. Amen. The prophet says, in taking side with Jesus, you know it. It says many times we get excited. Many times we get under great anticipation. And we run ahead of the program of God. And then we have to wait for things to catch up. Because you've got ahead of God. And he says, remember David under those mulberry trees that night. He was wearied about that fight. And he knew, Lord, I'm not going to go until you go before. And he lay there until he heard the rustling, the sound in the mulberry trees. Then he could go with confidence because he was called to do it. He felt to do it. And now he knew the time had come. God's season and God's time for that to be done had come. Now, surely, saints, that's the secret of success in our lives. Each junction in this walk with the Lord as his workmanship is when you can find those certain junctions where something moves and certain things start to open, and you start going through those things, and it leads to something else, it leads to something else, it leads to something else. Even in marriage, that's where it's supposed to be as well. Now, we're just speaking in the car. Gidon was saying about a certain brother that you know quite well, who has been giving a certain sister that you know in another country quite a hard time concerning the things of marriage, pestering someone. You know, somebody who wants to marry someone just won't let them alone, and that sister's telling him, please just leave me alone, and Now the brother's pushing. Don't ever force anything in the kingdom of God. You know, if God wants you to be together with somebody, He's going to create the circumstances. There's going to be a desire. It's going to be according to His word. And He's going to open up the door in His season. You know, and until you do that, you're going to try to do God a service without it being His will. You're going to find yourself out of the will of God or in a permissive will of God. And you're going to cripple things up, and then it's going to be difficult sometimes to redeem the situation. You know, and I really saw that with the prophet, that he learned that lesson so well. With that one of Mishawaka. But I looked at that and I said, it's the same with all of us. God gives you favor with certain people. God gives you friendship with certain people. God opens doors in certain places, in certain locations. And God, it's amazing. My brother Chong always loves Africa, because that's how God made him as an evangelist. Amen. He loves to go there. Everybody has somewhere they'll go that you really feel at home when you go there. You know, with those kinds of people and the way they do their things, you know, you really feel at home. And Brother Zalich has really been a good friend of mine. He's such an elder in the message. He got in the message in 1971. And he was in communist Czechoslovakia. Was communist in those days. And I gave the testimony once before when he invited me after the first time he met. He invited me to come a few months later to take youth meetings there in his area in Czech, right on the Polish border where they live. And so I went there, and we were going to the meeting in the morning, and he'd been telling me about the two different times he'd been taken in by the communist intelligence service to be interrogated, because he was making a stand as a believer. And how his friend, who was a fellow minister, actually lost his mind because of, you know, that torture and psychological torture they were put through. But he had to go through that twice. And then he was saying, you know, my brother, the hardest thing I ever went through in my life, I don't know, it was the early 1970s. He says, we were in Czech. He says, we're cut off from the outside world. We had no contact with the West because of communism, you know, because of the authorities and that. He says, sometimes the message books would come from spoken word publications, but the right borders through Poland. He says, Poland was a little bit easier for the books to get in, and somebody managed to get me some new books. And he says, and the book that I got that time was Souls That Are in Prison Now.
Yeah.
He says, brother, when I read that book, he says, you don't know the turmoil it put in my life. He says, I read it and I thought, is Brother Branham saying the time was over then? Because if you read that book, the prophet saying, could it be? And when he saw in J.C. Penney, he saw the souls from the regions of the lost. The prophet at that time, he says it many times, could it be? It certainly looks like it, you know? Yeah, he said, but I've got loved ones that still aren't in. I sure hope it's not the time. And Brother Zali said, I read that book. He says, I was in such a turmoil, I couldn't pray for days, he said. Because I thought, is mercy over? He said, I was so troubled. He says, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. He says, finally I said to my wife, he says, I need to go and speak to the Lord here. I need the Lord to answer me about this situation. And we're driving on the way to the youth meetings in this valley. And the one mountain's in Poland on the one side and the other side's in Czech. And we were going through the middle. And he said, brother, let me tell you about this mountain we're going past. It's a big mountain. He says, I was in such a turmoil inside of my life. He said, I told my wife, I'm going to seek the Lord. I don't know when I'm going to come back, but I have to hear from God. I can't go on like this. He says, and I climbed this mountain. He says, and I went just down the other side. And he says, and I found a clearing in the forest there. He said, and I really started to seek the Lord. He says, and the presence of the Lord came so strong. He says, and I laid on my face in the presence of the Lord. And he said, that's the only time it ever happened to me in my life. He said, but he spoke to me in an audible voice. And he said, stand up. And he says, take up your Bible. And then he showed him certain scriptures from the Word concerning grace. You see, and then Brother Zali said, it was such a powerful thing. And the Lord showed me, he says, the only reason I think the Lord did that to me at that time was that there was nowhere else I could get help from. I couldn't speak to anybody else to ask them questions. The Lord couldn't minister to me in any other way. He says, so he spoke to me directly. And he said, it was such a wonderful thing. He says, the Lord just showed me from the Word that there's still grace. He says, and then he spoke to me again and he said, ask of me a sign. That when you go from this place, the devil won't take away from you what I've shown you. And Brother Zali said, I went down on my knees. I said, Lord, I've never asked of you a sign. And the Lord said, ask of me a sign. Brother Zali said, I never knew what the prophet had asked. I'd never read that at that time. He said, but I said, Lord, let something come from the words. that an animal or some wildlife come from the woods and come to me. And he says, straight away a little deer came walking out of the woods and came and stood right in front of him. And he says, that was the real sign to him. And he's, you know, his different testimonies of when they used to smuggle Bibles and that into Russia in those days. That's very powerful things. I've spoken there several times of when he used to go there, they used to have the underground meetings. That anybody who was caught in those meetings, you'd be arrested. And just how pure the spirit was. And how there was the spirit of prophecy and the gifts of the spirit manifesting in such a crystal clear way. And he told me of the one time, he says we got to in Russia, he said, we met up in a certain place with the leader of the underground church. He says, when we were meeting, I don't know where the place was, in somebody's house or somewhere, they were going to quickly arrange where the meetings were going to be. Everything had to be done so secret. He says, and I sat down in this room, and he says, the leader of the church came in quickly. And he said to me, he said, we only have 5 minutes. He says, and then I have to go out of this door, and you have to go out of that door. We mustn't use that door. And he says, quickly, they arranged the meetings, where it was going to be, the times, whom they must contact, and that. The brother said, quickly, the leader said, we must go. And he went out, this went out, and straight away, the secret police came in through that door. He said, it was so powerful. He says, persecution. He says, when it gets to that stage, he says, it purifies the church. He says, I was in a certain meeting, and I was preaching. You know, he says, I was about to preach. He says, and the leader of the church, or whoever he was, he got up and was leading in songs and started to exhort the people. And there was a certain brother that had backslid. And he came and he had come secretly around at night, and he was standing outside of the church door at night trying to listen through the church door. And that brother just got in the spirit and said, brother so-and-so, why are you hiding down the door?
Hallelujah.
The Lord wants you to come in.
Amen.
And he called him inside. And I said, that's wonderful, saints. That's what we believe. We really do believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
But sometimes we get into Laodicea. Sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we get a little bit in the flesh. But I really do believe the Lord knows how to bring us into those kinds of situations. So that's why I really did appreciate his testimony. He's been through a lot of things, Bazalish. He's been affected in his health. He's getting pretty elderly now. So that was just the meetings where we were. These are the two brothers. We remember this brother here. A lot of saints know him. He came to us a couple of years back to take youth, Brother Bogdan. We had special youth meetings in the old church. And he came on a Saturday. This is Brother Zalish's son and his son-in-law. And God has really blessed him with him. This is Brother Gregory. He's the brother that arranges all of these meetings. He's a real, real laborer in the vineyard. Now, some of these people, when you speak about unsung heroes, now people, they work in their jobs, they don't earn so much money there. Brother Bogdan works as a digger, you know, he does those diggers, he digs trenches and stuff. You know, he'll be working a hard sort of a job, rattling away inside of his digger all day. But then the burden on their heart is, especially on the youth, you know, and on the meetings, and they're the ones now that have taken the responsibility to organize all these things. And they bring the brothers from different places and arrange all these meetings during the year. And they're just real such fine brothers because, you know, I like those kinds of people. You know, people that God has just raised them up and ordained them unto certain good works.
Yeah.
And they're walking in the Spirit and they're fulfilling the purpose to which they were called. And over the years, God has blessed their labors. It wasn't easy at first when they started the youth meetings. Got a lot of persecution even from other message churches.
Mm-hmm.
People say, where did the prophet ever have youth meetings and that? Did you go and read in the message and the prophet says that I used to meet with the young brothers on a Sunday, speak about sex and all those kind of things. Next week I used to meet with sisters. You'll find a lot of places. When the prophet preaches, follow me. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a youth meeting.
Yeah.
The full gospel businessmen have arranged a youth meeting.
Mm.
But I think, saints, when people want to criticize, I always find something to criticize. And that's why you've got to have a perseverance in these things.
Yeah.
That's the thing I really learned. So that's the two brothers, real fine brothers. This is now all the musicians that were playing that day. Look at them. Every one of them is from the youth.
Amen.
There's no old people here. And that's a blessed thing.
Amen.
And Brother Zalesh was speaking about it at the end, and he was saying, I really want to thank all of the musicians. And he said, the most wonderful thing he says about all of our musicians is now they're circumcised. You see, spiritually circumcised.
Amen.
Every single one of them has an experience with Christ. Every single one of the world has been circumcised. He says, that's how we don't have any problems with our musicians. He says, because they all know what's right and they know what's wrong.
Amen.
You know, because the Spirit is in them and leads them and guides them. But you look at them, they're all just the young people. And that's the harvest which the saints have reaped there from the labors they've put in and the toil they've put in. And it's a real blessed thing. I'll come back to that one there. This brother here is a brother, the one I was saying from Germany, Brother Alex Krau. He came and he preached the one service, that's the interpreter there. But he really preached a real wonderful message. I'll just say, take a few things which he spoke in that message. He called his message, he took it from Ephesians 2, that's why I read that scripture. He called it, faith produces the ordained work.
Hallelujah.
So your faith, when you are walking in faith, you will naturally produce the work that you are ordained unto.
Amen.
But he says, but you're not working in faith. He says, without faith, it stays as a desire. It's just a desire you have, but it can never manifest itself. But in faith, that desire starts to manifest itself. Now, so he took that scripture, and then he speaks about how we know when the prophet says that in the beginning, God spoke and had faith in his own word. And because God had faith in his own word, he had attributes in him. He wanted certain things to be expressed. So he spoke. And because he had faith in his own word, there was a manifestation of his desire. There was a manifestation of those attributes. And that was the key, because he had faith. He says he spoke it and believed it. Therefore, nothing could stop it from manifesting. The moment that the word is believed, nothing will stop it from manifesting. So what God has spoken about you, what God has spoken about me, if we have faith in that, in these works that we are ordained unto, nothing will stop it from happening. When Samuel came and anointed David that day, David had faith. He had faith in what he had been ordained to do. He knew, I've been told by the prophet, I'm to be king. So no matter what Saul did, no matter what happened there in the wilderness, no matter what other people said, no matter all the disappointments of his life, what was spoken of him was going to manifest. It was going to manifest because it had been spoken and it had, he had faith to believe that what had been spoken of him was going to come to pass. Yeah, and he got onto that kind of a thought, and then he says, but what do we focus on? He says, be careful what you focus on. He says, many times people will say, oh, I'm sick. And he says, be careful, because you'll end up believing it and you'll become sick.
Amen.
Because according to what you believe, that's what you're going to receive. He was saying, never focus on those kind of things. Focus on what God has spoken of you. Focus on God's purpose for your life. That's the thing that you need to be focusing on. Because the moment that you have faith in what God has made you, you're going to deeper and deeper manifest the works that you're supposed to manifest. Because it's faith in his word that he's spoken about you. Yeah, I was just thinking of it when he said it that day. When the prophet was in the prayer line and he said to this one lady, Satan's trying to tell you that you're going to lose your mind. Now, if she had believed that, she would have lost her mind.
Yes.
But she had to renounce that thing.
Hallelujah.
And said, this is the devil speaking to you. God doesn't say I'm going to lose my mind. This is the devil telling me I'm going to lose my mind. It just depends on what you believe.
Amen.
That's why you had all the time the prophet saying, be careful. If the doctor says this, you'd be careful. You don't quickly sign for that package.
Amen.
Because you'll believe it. And even if he's like, we heard it many times, even when Brother Lubanza was preaching, and he was saying that. You know, many times the doctors misdiagnose. And they'll tell you about something that you don't have, but because you accept it and you believe it, it comes upon you.
Yeah.
It's far better as a believer to focus on what he says about you, what he says about your situation. Because faith produces the ordained works. Whatever you believe, that's going to manifest itself. And we are ordained unto certain things. God has called us for a certain purpose. God has separated us for a certain purpose. And if you just keep focusing on that, the more we believe, as we get deeper and deeper, having faith in what we are in Christ, the more it's going to keep manifesting itself. Whatever we ordain to be, whatever we ordain to do, it's going to manifest itself. And nothing can stop it from manifesting itself, because it's the word. It's the spoken word. It's what God spoke about you. What God spoke about the bride. Everything shall come to pass. I think it was Mary, whoever said it back those that says, and there shall be, what, a confirmation of what was spoken, a manifestation, whatever it is. Excuse me, it will always be like that. So it's believing and focusing on the right thing. Then it says, he started to speak about Abraham and Sarah. Then he says, you know, to the prophet speaks works his faith expressed. He says, Paul justified Abraham 25 years before James justified Abraham.
Amen.
Because God was looking at his faith. God knew he's believed what I said, he's going to have a child. To the world, they didn't yet justify him because they couldn't see the manifestation of that work. They couldn't see the promise made manifest yet, so the world had a right to doubt. But God looked and said, he's got faith.
Amen.
That's it. He's believed what I've spoken of him. Therefore, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
So God said, the work is finished. God justified him in that. But James now speaking about the world, it was justified when the son was born. Then the world said, oh, he really did have faith. But it was just two ways of looking at the same thing. But faith is works expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something there. He said, God had more faith in Sarah than she had in God at first. In Genesis 18, when she laughed, God had more faith in her than she had in God. But that changed. As she started to focus on the right thing, as the Lord visited her and so forth, by faith, Sarah conceived.
Hallelujah.
By faith, she then conceived. But at first, it wasn't real to her. But God still had faith in her. God still had faith, knew that she was going to get there in the end, because that is what he had spoken. So why? And then he got on to that this is what God has ordained us to be. This is God's work. This isn't our work. God has determined these things. No, it's not what Sarah wanted, what Abraham wanted. It's what God's desire was. And when God speaks, that's his desire. So what God speaks about the bride, that's God's desire. If God says it's going to be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, that's his desire. Therefore, he speaks his desire. And if we have faith in that, it's going to manifest itself. We will fully manifest a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. As long as we focus on those things. As long as we focus on that which has been spoken about us. Because God, whenever he speaks it, he desires it.
Amen.
That's God's desire. He then was speaking about how faith is a revelation of God's will.
Amen.
That you can never have faith if you don't know that it's God's will. That's where the key comes in. Now, if you don't know that you're supposed to do a certain something, you can never have faith in it.
Amen.
There can never be a full manifestation. If you don't know what you're called to do, if you don't know that it's right for you to do something, you can never have faith in it, therefore there can never be a manifestation of faith inside of that thing. So the most important thing for you to do is you need to find out what God wants you to do.
Amen.
If you want to have faith, if you want to have a manifestation of something, it depends on you finding out for yourself what God wants you to do.
Amen.
What has God called you to do? The prophet says Jesus had perfect faith.
Amen.
In what he was.
Hallelujah.
That's what made all the difference.
Amen.
He knew, I was born the Messiah. I'm born the Lamb of God. I'm greater than Jonah. You know, I'm going to come out of the tomb as a third day, just as Jonah came out of the belly of the whale. So he focused on those things.
Right.
He knew, I'm the fulfillment of all the sacrifices in the temple. You know, he will not leave his soul in hell, nor suffer his flesh to see corruption. He focused on what was spoken of him. He knew he was. And he didn't worry about what other people's part was.
Amen.
Focusing on that. He knew himself. This is for me. And therefore, because he had faith in what he was, what he had been ordained to be, there was a full manifestation of those things. He fully expressed what he was supposed to express. Because he focused on those things. And that's why you have to find out what the will of God is. He says, if you find out what the will of God is for your life, it'll be so much easier for you to have faith. Because if I know God put me here, in this place, no matter what comes, no matter what the devil tries to do, I'm going to have faith. It's not going to be easy for the devil to toss me about. Because I know that God put me here. And only God will take me from this place. And that's the same way as you. If God calls you to the message, you have to have faith to say, God called me as a message believer.
Amen.
So when doubt wants to come, sickness wants to come, something wants to come and challenge you, can say, I'm a message believer. I'm ordained to walk in this. I'm ordained to walk in this. And now you have faith. You know, it doesn't matter when things go dark, you still have faith. Because you know who you are. You know what you're raised up for, like the song says. Let's have faith to believe what God has made. It says faith sees what God wants done.
Amen.
Faith can see God wants me to do this.
Amen.
You can see God leading you in a certain way. He can see he's leading you down a certain path. You know, so if you're walking now in that line of duty, walking in that channel of faith, the enemy is always going to come and challenge.
That's right.
But now you're going to have faith. But if you're not sure who you are, you're not sure that you're supposed to be there, you're not sure that you're supposed to be doing those things, the devil's going to have you. The devil's going to take advantage of that. You can't have perfect faith. You can only have perfect faith in what God has made you. That's how we need to focus on that. God, what have you called me to? What is your purpose for my life? What is your desire? What are the good works that you would then need to walk in? Focus on that. Focus on what God says about you, what God is dealing with you about. And the deeper your faith becomes, the more you're going to manifest those works as you go by.
Amen.
That's a very, it was a powerful thought, friends, when he was speaking. I was really so blessed. And then he says, how many times we try to have faith in something that's not for us. And when he said that, I remember the prophet says about this sister who came and said, no, Brother Branham, you know, I've tried to cast out devils. I tried to fast, I tried to pray, but I can't cast out demons. And Branham says, you're not a dead baby to cast out demons. But if you'll use that faith and that fasting and pray to pray for those that are ordained to do those things. You see, she could never have a full faith because she wasn't ordained unto that. But she was given to something else. Like the prophet says about Pat Tyler and Gene Goad and them laying on their faces and fasting and praying during the meetings. Remember, we read it the other week. And Roman says, maybe they don't have the big gifts and that. And they realize what God has made them. So they do all that they can do. They make intercession. They pray and seek God. And then the prophet, the one with the gift and the ministry to do those kind of things, because of their prayers, the anointing's coming on him. And they're raising up his arms and he's able to stand now to bring forth his ordained fruit. That's what they were ordained to bring forth. And that's how you can only have faith, perfect faith, when you know what it is that God has ordained you to be. The works that God has ordained you to walk in. So he says that. He says, genuine faith can sometimes produce the wrong works. You might have faith, but you're in the wrong channel. You're in another man's position. You're in another, you're trying to do something that you're not ordained to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't use your God-given, use the resources down the wrong channel. It's just like when you take those grafted in branches. He says there's the original life. He says you don't want to be a grafted branch. That you, like the prophet says, you're bearing false witness of the life. Because that's an orange tree. You graft in a lemon branch, the fruit's a lemon. That's false witness of what tree this really is.
Amen.
But if you're the genuine branch, you find your position.
Because
he's the vine, we are the branches.
Amen.
You're ordained to bring forth a certain fruit.
Amen.
You're ordained unto certain works. So now you're going to be in the right place, right time, in the right channel. The resources are going to be coming. The faith's going to be there. You're going to start now to bring forth oranges. You're going to start to bring forth what you're ordained to bring forth. That's what he says. He said, check it by its fruits. You'll know. And he says, and that's where the workers of iniquity came in. I said, Lord, didn't we do these things in your name?
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you go and read in the Bible and see what that really means, when you say to do something in someone's name, it means that person told you to do it. But they were saying, Lord, we did this in your name. He says, I never told you to do it. Not that they didn't manifest. They did mighty works. But friends, that he never told them. They weren't ordained for that. And that's why he called them workers of iniquity. He says, you don't want to find yourself down that channel. Then you're trying to do another man's job. You know, you're trying to be like Uzziah and you're going to take the censer from the priest. You're going to be struck with leprosy. Then if he had abstained in his ordained works, he was a blessing. His name was great to the entering of Egypt. Yeah, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. And now he wanted to go into something he wasn't ordained to walk in. So your safety is finding out what God wants you to be and just staying in that place and growing in grace, increasing in faith. Let there be a deeper and deeper manifestation of what it is that he's called you to do. That's what you're ordained to from before the foundation of the world. That's the correct use of the resources of the vine. Then you bring it forth, the original fruit. Then he finished off on the thought with Caleb. Let's open Joshua chapter 14. I really liked it when he spoke about Caleb. In Joshua chapter 14, Caleb believed what God had said about him. It wasn't Caleb's plan. Excuse me, you know the story. When the 12 spies went and they came back. And then Moses, with the 10 spies, murmured and complained. And then Moses, the Lord said to Moses, you tell Caleb, because he believed. The very place where his foot trod when he was spying out the land, I've given that to him as an inheritance. That's what the Lord told him. So God spoke to Caleb about where God wanted him to be. It wasn't Caleb's choice. It wasn't Caleb's desire. It was God's desire. And in order for Caleb to possess that inheritance, he simply had to have faith in what God said about him. That God said, that's my inheritance. That's my inheritance. Then he could have faith. Verse 6, Joshua 14. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me. What the God used the prophet to say about me. Can you see what he was focusing on? He wasn't thinking about, oh, all these people perish in the wilderness, maybe I'll perish as well. Oh, look at all these problems in the message. Oh, all these people are dying in the wilderness. That's got nothing to do with you. 10,000 on your right hand, 1,000 on your left. But it won't come near you because you've set your heart on the right thing. He was focusing on the right thing. He was thinking about what God had promised him.
Hallelujah.
He wasn't forcing a promise. God had given him the promise by grace. God had says, this portion of land where your feet trod, that's your inheritance and your children. And that's what he was meditating upon, Caleb. He says it. Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. What a promise. But it was the message of Moses. Moses came and told him, Caleb, God spoke about you. He says, you have an inheritance and it's with you and your children forever. Surely, the Lord has said.
Amen.
And that gave him faith. This is okay. That's the lights are lining up. He has a desire. Yeah. It's in line with the word of God. And God is now going to open up the way in this chapter. Therefore, he's got every right to expect that he's going to possess the fullness of his inheritance.
Hallelujah.
Because everything's lined up.
Amen.
Now he can focus all his resources, all his attention down this channel. With perfect confidence, it's going to come out right in the end. Although there's going to be opposition. Verse 11, let's skip 10 and go to 11. He now says he's 85 years in verse 10. He's 85 years old. He says in verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. How fine. Would that not be a great testimony? That you say, I'm just as strong now as when I first believed.
Yeah.
Many of us, we look back and say, you know, then I used to believe, and then, no, it shouldn't be like that. Okay, let me say, I'm just as strong now. I'm 85 years old. Then I was 40 years old. But I'm just as strong today as when the Lord first spoke to me. Verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. You see, he's not trying to do his own things. He says, give me the mountain which the Lord spoke of. And that's our inheritance in the message as well. Should that not be our focus as believers? What has God promised you? What has God promised me? Even if you just take that simple promise, I will pour my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. And we possess that. We line it up with the word and then we pray and seek God and let him bring the circumstances together. We can't bring the fulfillment of the word. He is the one that has to fulfill that promise. But if we focus on that promise, we believe in that promise, we pray and work towards that promise, and we wait for him to open things up, for him to show the way that he's going to fulfill this promise, whichever way that he desires to fulfill it, friends, that's the same thing at Caleb. He took the promise. That promise is for me. That's for me. You and your house shall be saved. That's a promise for us. That's what he promised. Therefore, instead of focusing, oh, my children are getting rebellious. Oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. Oh, woe is me. Oh, we're living in Satan's Eden. It's so difficult these days. Oh, there's so many. No. We're focusing on the wrong thing. What did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved.
Amen.
That's a promise.
Amen.
If we focus on that, friends. But we don't have the time frame. We don't know exactly when the third light's going to light up, because He's the one that has to bring, you know, that final time and open the door of the circumstances. But we, like Abraham, can be justified 25 years before the actual promise comes to pass. Because inside of ourselves, we've lined things up already. Now we're just waiting to see how God is going to manifest these things. How He's going to bring it to pass. Same with the rapture. How exactly is the rapture going to happen? Exactly when? We don't know. We don't know exactly how the squeeze is going to be. We don't know those kind of things, but it doesn't affect us. We just believe. But we're waiting for that third light to line up. His time, His place, when He opens and closes doors, brings certain circumstances, He'll bring His promise to pass. That's the way that it's going to be. But we need to focus on the right things. And that's what Caleb was doing. He was focusing on the right things. That brother said it wasn't Caleb asking for it. It was God giving it to him. We ordained to these things before the foundation. We never went and asked God before the foundation of the world. Just say, Lord, give us the third pull. Lord, give us the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, give us the full manifestation of your grace. We never asked Him for that.
Amen.
He promised those things to us.
Amen.
And then He sent the prophet to us to speak those things to us.
Amen.
And if you focus on those things, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
But we just wait for His things to happen. He knows exactly how to bring these things to line up. Now then He finished off on a certain thought about ducks. Well, there's one little thing He said on the way first. He says, you know, this is one of the greatest things you find in my message, believers. They don't listen to the prophet. They don't listen to the messages. He says, I was in a certain church some 2 years back. He said, and the pastor, a certain book had just been translated into whatever language it was. I think it was the Token. And the prophet said to all the church, saints, everyone take your copy of Token and read it. He says, and we came back 6 months later, whatever, he says, and I asked the saints, who read the Token? He says, only a few people put up their hand. He says, how do you expect to get anywhere like that? Because you've got to believe what the prophet said about you. And there's certain things that come seasonably and in a certain time, and there's a certain anointing upon it for that time. He says, but that's the greatest mistake. He says, and that shows a lack of faith. He says, because listening to the messages shows that you have faith that Elijah was sent to you. If you believe Elijah was sent to you, you're going to take seriously what he said. But if those books just gather dust, do you really believe Elijah was sent to you? Do you really believe it? If you really believe it was God's grace to send the message to you, friends, you'll esteem that message. That'll be the greatest thing that ever happened to you, is that God sent this message to me. And if you have faith in a revelation that this is God's grace to you, you're going to use that. You're going to use that as much as you possibly can. Then he spoke, just finishing off, he spoke about, you know, the final quickening. This reminded me when we were preaching the other week about the latter rain and all those things. And he says, you know, Simeon had believed. When it was spoken to him that you shall not die until you see the Lord's Christ, he believed. But then that third light had to line up, God's time, God's place. And then when things started to line up now, and Mary now came with Joseph to bring him to be circumcised on the eighth day, there was a quickening.
Amen.
Something came and quickened Simeon and said, rise up. Something came and quickened Anna and then brought her now to the fulfillment of the promise. And he said, it's exactly the same with the ducks. He says, you see these ducks swarming now to go south for the winter, whatever that it is. Yeah? He says that instinct is always in them. The whole year, that instinct to head south is always in them. But then there comes a certain season. When the season in time comes for that God-given instinct to kick in, something just quickens in the instinct at that time. And then they start gathering together. And the prophets start saying, honk, 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 honk. And then they find the leader. And then, this is straight to the south. He said, but it's in them all here. But something has to come to quicken it in the season. He says, that's how the rapture is. The rapture's in you.
Amen.
If you're already born again, if you've been full of the Spirit, the rapture's in you.
Amen.
You're just waiting for that final something to quicken that something that's inside of you.
Amen.
He says, because it's not your choice. It's God's choice.
Amen.
It wasn't Abraham's choice. It was God's choice. You will bring forth a son.
Amen.
It's not our choice. We chose, I want to be in the rapture.
No.
God ordained us unto these good works.
Amen.
God ordained us to these things. They asked the prophet the question, will young children be in the rapture? He says, if they ordain to it.
Amen.
It's because only that which is ordained will be in the rapture. There's certain people that are ordained unto that final work.
Hallelujah.
Ah, friends.
Thank you,
Lord. Wouldn't faith persuade you that you're one of them? That when you sing one of them,
amen,
and focus on that and believe in that.
Amen.
And in due season, you will see a manifestation of that.
Amen.
You will see when things line up in his season, in his time, and he comes to that final something, to quicken that something that he's put inside of you. The rapture's already inside of you. And that's what it did. He quickened the wise men. He quickened the shepherds. He's given all the examples of people that he quickened at that time and brought them all together to the fulfillment of the promise. And he says that's exactly the way that it is with the bride. That's the way that he quickens things to us. So I really did appreciate that message. I thought it was quite a blessing.
Amen.
That's why I came and preached most of his message to you tonight. It was a very good message. And I really thought it was a real blessing. So that's the brother there, Brother Alex Crow. Just a bit more and I'll finish off. If I can change to the next one. There we go. Sorry. I'll go back one here. We then had Brother Owen Jorgensen. He came, like I say, he's the one who wrote the supernatural books. A very nice brother. It was very nice to fellowship with him. Very interesting story. Because the brother had just preached about being ordained and to bring forth certain fruits. And Brother Owen came and he gave his testimony about how God led him to write those books, to be the biographer of Brother Branham, to write those 6 books in the Supernatural series. And it was really interesting to me because just the week before, I'd been contacting with Brother Will on WhatsApp. And I said to Brother Will, Brother Will, I'm searching on the internet here, trying to find the Supernatural books in MP3, because I'd like to listen to them. And then Brother Will said, no problem. And he went on and he found them on Believers Christian Fellowship in America on their website, and Brother Will bought them. So just about 2 days before we went last week, Brother Will came and he gave me those CDs. He said, look, brother, I got these MP3s. And I put them on my iPod. And I was listening to them. It was such a blessing. Then we got there and I saw, here's the man who wrote these books.
Hallelujah.
It was so nice. And even when I was preaching, about, Job's priesthood. And I had in my notes there, because I was using chapter 64 of the supernatural book of Billy Paul when he went astray. And all the things that happened to him. And I had all of it, and I told him, I said, hey, bro, and I even have your books in my notes here to preach. I said, that's really interesting to meet you. But he was a very, very nice brother. There were certain things that I learned just from him. The first thing is, if God has ordained you unto something, he prepares you for it.
Amen.
He says that he grew up in a farm, Washington State, there to south of the Canada border, up to the northwest of America. He was far away from anybody, living where they grew wheat in his father's farm. He said, so they never hardly saw anybody else. He said, so I so much got into reading, he said. And he said, I had such a desire to write books. He says, when I was young, before I think he got to 16, 18 years old, he already had written 5 books. He says, none of them were any good, the books. He says, but I just had something inside of me that wanted to write books. He says, so when I got old enough, He says, my father gave me some time to go do some studies, college and that. He said, I thought I'd go and learn whatever you call it. You know, not journalism, but whatever it is when you're writing books. He says, and I was given all these assignments. He says, and they gave us assignments to write certain chapters of certain things. And he says, I went and I did my first one. He says, it was handed back to me by the teacher. And the teacher had written in red on the top, would you mind if I use this as a model for the rest of the class? He said that happened for the first 3 weeks. He said each time the teacher said that we use it as a model. Then he said, I really, really saw. Then he says, but years before that, the reason that I really wanted to write the book, he says, my brother was going out with a certain girl whose mother had been healed in Brother Bram's meetings. And someone came and testified to us about Brother Bram. He says, when I heard about his ministry, I wanted to read as much as I could about his ministry. He says, and when I started to read about the prophet, said, I just had a deep desire. He says, I was standing one day. He says, I remember where the desire came from. He says, I was standing one day in the room. He said, somebody had sent me some of the prophet's messages, and I'd read some of the books. He says, and something spoke to me so strong inside of myself and said, I want you to write the life story of William Branham.
Hallelujah.
He says, I could never shake it from that day.
Amen.
He said, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't even know how this could ever be done. He says, but the last count, he said, I'd spent 12,000 hours at this. 12,000 hours. That's when you can tell someone's called.
Amen.
When somebody's called, friends, they're going to see this thing through to the end.
Amen.
And he says, you know, he came to the Lord, he gave his testimony how he came to the Lord and different things, and then he got married to his wife. And he says, and the moment the Lord spoke to him and said, write the life story, the autobiography of my prophet. He said, I went and I told my wife. He said, I think the first thing I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to listen to every one of his messages in sequence. That was the first thing that he said he was going to do. He said, the moment I did that, my wife backslid. He says, the moment I started walking in line with my calling, what God had called me, ordained me to be, my wife backslid and went to the world. And she started doing all of these things which you'd never even want to be mentioned. He said, it put such a strain on our marriage. And then I saw again, this man was called to it because that never stopped him doing it. And he went for years. I don't know how many years, he said, before he could write the first book, he first had to listen to every one of the prophet's messages one by one. And as he started to listen to them, he started to take notes. He says, I took 56 files, he said, I had on my shelf. One for each year of the prophet's life. He says, and as I was listening to the messages, I was taking notes. And I was putting dates next to those notes. He says, and then I ended up with, after listening to them, I had 1,000 pages of notes. He says, then I got each of those files for each year. And I took my notes now, and I started to cut up my notes and put them in the years. So that everything I had all the years of the prophet's life. He says, and then I went back to each file and I started reading through them. And that's how I started to understand what the prophet went through in that year. And that's why he goes through the book, if you read it. He starts off from 1909 and he brings it all the way through to 1965. The 56 years of the prophet's life. But in all of that time, until I think he finished the third book, his wife was fighting him. His wife went back to college. She went into the world. She even told me, she said, Owen, if you could just leave this religion stuff, we could have a very good marriage. That's what I saw, friends, a call in life.
Amen.
There's going to be resistance. There's going to be obstacles. Yeah. But the man still spent 12,000 hours of time. Why? Because he was ordained to bring forth that fruit.
Amen.
He was ordained to walk in this good work. And he says, and then finally, he gave the testimony. It was a real touching testimony. He says, now I finished book number 3, whatever it was. He says, now it's ready. Then he says, when he wanted to learn how this book should be written, he says, the first book I wrote, the first chapter I wrote two different ways. He says, I wrote it first like a reporter, saying there was a man called William Branham, this and that happened. He says, it just didn't feel right. So I wrote it another way. He said, I wanted it to be like an adventure. You know, that's the way that he did it in the end. He says, I thought, who is my audience? He said, when I was in the world, a young man, lost, not knowing about anything to do with God, not knowing about what God wanted me to be. He said, I was so lost. He says, that's the kind of target audience I wanted to aim at. I wanted to something that would explain to someone like that, the way the message had explained and brought me to truth.
Hallelujah.
He says, and I didn't know which was right. So he says, so I gave it to my 8-year-old daughter, and I asked her to read the first chapter. And he says, I knew I was on the right track. When she started reading the one which I'd written like in his adventure, and she said, Daddy, this is really good. And she continued reading it. And he says, ah, then I knew it was right. And he says, and that's the way that I started. And that's why I did the books the way that I did those books.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but you people don't understand how much time I spent to get those books right.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when Brother Perry Green, when I first approached him to see, I was trying to find someone to print my books. He says, and I sent the manuscripts to Perry Green, and Perry Green phoned me straight away and said, no, come up, let's talk about this. He says, I got there, and then he spoke with Brother Perry. He said, the first thing Brother Perry Green had done was given the manuscript to his secretary and said, go and check these facts. Because in those days, the first book, there wasn't yet like the table and a lot of the things which we can search now. And he says, and the very first fact she went was when in the book, when Brother Bram takes the stone, remember, when he's young, the first time he ever hears the voice of the Lord, when he says, you shall live near a city town called New Albany. Amen. And Brother says, I know he was 2-3 years old, and he was out with his brother Edward, standing outside of the house, and he took a big rock. He wanted to show Edward how strong he was, and he threw the rock into the mud. And the mud went splashed all on Edward, and Edward went crying into the house. And then he heard something in the tree. Satan, you shall live near a city called New Albany. And he got affrighted. He ran into the house. And Brother Peregrine's secretary was the first thing she went and checked. And she thought, oh, it's exactly the way that Brother Branham explained it. And that's where Peregrine got it. He says, I made sure every fact. And he says, the way that I did it, he says, I got all of my notes. Because the prophet would tell the same story in many places, in many ways. He said, I would get it all. He says, and then I'd get a highlighting pen. And I'd highlight every detail. Amen. That this was at night. This was a Ford car. This was this, this, this. And he'd highlight in all of those accounts all the little details that he could pick up. Then he would like meditate upon it, meditate, sit with his typewriter, sit on his computer, and then he had now put it down on paper like that. And he said, sometimes it would take me hours to write the first paragraph. He says, once the first paragraph came, and you knew which way to go, he said, but you find the right way to say it, to express it. Our friends, and those books were a great blessing to me. I remember when we came from Zimbabwe and had all of our woes and all of our hardships, 2000. And that was just the time, 2000 book one came out, and Brother Billy, the pastor in Belfast, gave me a copy. And just at the time, the Lord was really reviving us and bringing us back to the days of our youth. Pastor and Brother Billy gave me that supernatural book one, and I started to read the life story of the prophet. It was such a precious thing at that time, just to bring things back to the origin of what you believe. You know, they're very good books. You know, if you haven't ever read them, I'd really recommend that you read them. So he went through all of these things, and then finally, when he wrote book three, I think it was book three, he says, he really, really was thinking about his wife. His wife hadn't been well. She had been sick. She was still away from the Lord. He says, and then, I can't remember which chapter that it was. I think maybe when the angel came in the cave. I don't know which one it was. But he called his wife. He said, let me ask her to come and just read a little portion. And he called his wife into his office and said, honey, why don't you just read a little bit of this? And she read a little bit, and then she quickly went out, and she started to cry. And then he went and he asked, what's wrong? And she said, that's the thing that I always feared. I always knew if I started reading what you were writing,
hallelujah,
I realized that I was wrong and you were right.
Yeah.
And this message is true. She says, I want to come back to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And she came back to the Lord. You know, she came back to the Lord. And just a short while after that, yeah, she was still very sick. She wasn't well with certain things. And he had to take her for a doctor's appointment. And she was getting ready to go for the doctor's appointment. And the prophet, Brother Owen, he was out in the fields doing something on his tractor. And then his daughter ran out and said, quickly, quickly, mommy, mommy. No, he said, first she came out and said, daddy, mommy is calling for you. Mommy is calling for you. So he came inside and she was sitting and she was so excited. She said, Owen, an angel appeared to me.
Amen.
I said, what do you mean? He said, an angel appeared to me. He said, what did he say? An angel appeared to me. And he said, and showed me your books. That there's going to be two people from the West Coast, the West of America, are going to help you with these books. He said, and I saw thousands of people rejoicing because of these books.
Amen.
Yeah. And Brother Owen said at that time he had these manuscripts, but didn't know how to print them. And he was out on the tractor, burden in his heart. When am I ever going to find finance to print these books? And then she said, and the angel said, tell Owen not to worry.
Hallelujah.
He'll get the finance. Yeah? And then she came back and then showed him. So then she also said, but Owen, the vision continued on. He showed me. She said, I saw myself laying in a hospital. And there was a certain nurse trying to, you know, look after me. I was on a bed in the hospital. She says, and there was the angel of the Lord was standing at my head. He said, there were two demons standing at my feet. I don't know what it means. And Brother Owen said, look, I really don't know what. And he said, within 15 minutes, she was lying on that hospital bed and she passed away in the hospital. And she passed away just like that. But she'd already come back to the Lord. Since then, he's remarried. He's remarried once again. But it was really an interesting thing to see. You know, it's not an easy journey that you have to go through to fulfill what it is that God wants you to fulfill. But it's been a great blessing, and those books have been a great blessing to each and every one of us.
Amen.
Now, the final thing that I'll say, just a general fellowship of the saints, that was real wonderful fellowship. And sometimes when you're fellowshipping with people, you know, sometimes when you find maybe there's a blessing on your fellowship, even if you're sitting with somebody, you're fellowshipping in their house or whatever, and there's a certain blessing. You know, there's certain things I learned when I was there. It was like, just confirm to me once again, is what the prophet says in my new ministry, in paragraph 21. When he's speaking about being in the boat with Banks Woods and Lyle Woods. And then Banks Woods said, His prophet says, Mr. Woods said about some old sister, we know the story, that used to feed them a slice of homemade bread and butter. She belonged to the church of God. And Banks said, Lyle, he said it to his brother, we ought to go up and tell her that we got saved. That we got saved. And the prophet says, you know, there's just certain things we can say that just takes a hold with the Holy Spirit. Just certain things that please Him just right. And when we say that thing, I want you to notice what you say, Jesus said.
Hallelujah.
If you could just find what to say.
Amen.
I found it, friends, especially fellowshiping with people from different churches and that. There's a tendency, if you're not careful, you want to speak about the controversies in the message. But did you hear about this? Or did you hear about that? Did you hear about that? And there's no blessing in those kind of things. Because there's a certain kind of thing that you speak about. And it brings it down. On the night before we left, we were staying in this brother's house, Brother Pavel Patuchek. I might have a photo of him here. I don't know if I do. Sorry, this is the pastor from Warsaw. He was there. Just wanted to show you. This was another minister. No, I don't have the photo of the brother we stayed with. But we're in his house, and they invited that brother Alex Kraut, the brother who preached from Germany. He was there. And then there was the pastor of the church in the little town we were staying on the way to Prague. And then there was the former pastor who had stepped down, and this other pastor took it. And it was a really wonderful time. But friends, I really learned that. The conversation, just for a little season, started to get upon some of these controversial things. You know how it is? And the blessing started to depart. And straight away I sensed it. I said, yeah, this isn't pleasing the Lord the way that we're going here.
Yeah.
And we brought it back onto speaking about our personal testimonies.
Hallelujah.
Ah, friends, when he started speaking about our testimonies, it was so sweet. It was so wonderful. You know that atmosphere there when you start like Lyle and Bang said to Lyle, we should go and tell her that you got saved.
Amen.
And that just struck with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, this is what I want. And that's when the anointing came down and the prophet said, he says, unconsciously, Banks must have said the right thing. If you could only find what to say, because your words judge you. Your words will either condemn you or your words will bless you.
Amen.
But he said the right thing. And when he said that, all of a sudden something struck me. He said the right thing.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit spoke out and said, thus saith the Lord. You'll find out in the next few hours there'll be a resurrection of a little animal.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, friends. And what about Sister Hattie? She said that.
Amen. Amen.
The salvation of them, that's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Our friends, let's be very careful. It's so easy sometimes to start straying off into this and speaking about somebody else's problems or speaking about somebody else's affairs. If you want to stay in the channel of the blessing, stay away from this. And if you see the conversation going that way, divert it and bring it back in line once again. Because that's the only thing that He blesses. Is when you find the mind of the Spirit. There's a certain something that He wants to be said. And something that pleases Him. I'll finish with this quote. And when their eyes were opened, Beaumont, he says, we find out on the way to Emmaus. We know the quote. As they went along the road, one great thing about them, they were talking about Him when He appeared.
Hallelujah.
It's the same as in preaching. You know? You're trying to find the mind of the Spirit. There's something that pleases Him. When I took the first service, I was preaching about, you know, the masterpiece family, about headship, the prophet, the priest, and the king. Now you've got to have that balance. And when I got out to speak it about the priesthood, there came such a blessing. Yay!
Amen.
So I knew when you came back for the evening service, let me speak on the priesthood. Oh, that was a wonderful time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you find the mind of the Spirit. You might have your ideas what you want to speak, but there's certain things you know the Lord blesses it.
Yeah.
And it opens something up. And if you just keep going down that channel, friends, it's a nice thing to do. There's nothing sweeter in life. The prophet says, that's the trouble today. The reason I think He doesn't appear to so many of us is because we don't talk about Him enough.
Amen.
We've got other things we've got to talk about.
Amen.
Like what? Our denominational difference. That's what the denominational difference now is. You know, Brother Baruti said this, and Brother Joker said this, or, you know, this brother Lee Vale doesn't agree with this brother there. I mean, hey, what's it going to do with us? What's it going to do with us? You know, all these differences we find in the midst of Brother Chukwosi and this, and no, saints, they are reckoned on those things. Let's make it a prohibition area. That when we speak in one to another, let's speak about Him. Let's speak about things pertaining to us. Let's speak about our mountain that He's given us to possess. Let's not worry about speaking of controversies and the message and this, that, and the other. This person said that, and did you hear that? That's the quickest way to grieve the blessing out of your fellowship.
Amen.
And you leave fellowship and you know there's something missing and something lacking here. That's what the prophet says. It's that we've got other things to talk about, our denominational difference. We've got to fuss about that. We've got to talk about communism. What's that? Politics. It's that we start speaking about politics. It's different if you're speaking about modern events made clear by prophecy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you speak about politics. Ah, friends, that's a sure way to grieve the Lord. It says we've got all kinds of programs and everything else has got us tied up. We don't have time to talk about Him. The church program. Who's going to be elected pastor? Who's going to do this, do that? We're talking about everything else but Him. Sure, we must be talking about Him. If we want to see Him.
Amen.
That's when, always. That's how you finish it. Whenever you're speaking about Him, He draws near.
Amen.
Like it did those men on the way to us. There was plenty of grievance they could have spoken. Many disappointments they could have focused on. Many things they didn't understand.
Yeah.
They could have been speaking about Peter denied Him 3 times. How could Peter have done that? They could have been speaking about, oh, how could all of the people run away from Him in His hour of greatest need? But they were speaking about Him.
Amen.
They were speaking about Him. And when they started to speak about Him, He drew near. And then He unfolded Himself, and then their hearts were burning, and then they ran back to the post of duty in Jerusalem once again. Our friends, it's a wonderful thing to speak
Amen.
About. Let's keep speaking about Him. So I really do thank the Lord. It was a real wonderful time, saints. Do appreciate your prayers. As I said before we went, we were really tired before we went, but I really thank the Lord. He gave us a lot of grace, a lot of strength, wonderful fellowship. And may the Lord help us now in the things which we've learned, especially down the line of our youth, and that let's really pray about these things, that the Lord might show us the way that He led us to go. Let's stand, let's close in a word of prayer. Let's sing one song by joy, if you don't mind. We sing in the old-fashioned way without the instruments. Because God gave you an instrument, it's called your voice. That's the original instrument. talking about expectations.
Amen.
Are there somewhere listening? You know, you're waiting to hear His voice. You're waiting for Him to do something for you. That's a wonderful thing. Let's bow our heads. This is Brother George. He's kind enough to close with. Just one thing to pray about. The funeral for Brother Ron Borthwick is next week on Monday in Scotland. Just asking saints just to remember it in prayer as well.
Father, we thank Thee for the strength You've given to us, Lord. Father, You've given us, Lord, Father, direct instructions, Lord. Father, Lord, on how, Father, we can, Lord, prepare ourselves. Father, to be a tabernacle. Father, Lord, to fulfill Your will and Your purpose. Lord, You've called us, Father. Lord, we have different callings, different makeups, different natures, different jobs that You desire for us to do for You, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, we don't mind the jobs of this life that, Lord, sustain, Lord, our pilgrimage here. But what matters, Lord, is to fulfill our calling, Lord. Father, Lord, how we desire, Lord, Savior, to do as Paul said, to make our calling and election sure.
Yes.
Lord, bearing in mind, it's not, Lord, Savior, Father, oh God, He who begins, but He who finishes, Lord.
Yes.
We ask Your grace, Lord, tonight. Father, Lord, bless this word to our hearts. Give it upon this night. What a wonderful word, Lord. Father, even thinking of the brother, Lord, who done those supernatural books, Lord, what a blessing. You never know what goes into these things, Lord.
Amen.
Father, to think, Lord, even of those message books, Father, for them to get to, Lord, us this day, Lord, Savior. Father, oh God, we are so grateful. Lord, we are so thankful, Father. Lord, how thankful we are, Lord, that, Lord, we can read them, Lord, even in the language that they were preached in, Lord, Savior God. What a blessing, Lord, Savior God. Jehovah, Lord, we desire, Lord, Savior, Father, to do, Lord, even as, Lord, Savior, Father Solomon said, Lord, Father, not to forget the law, Lord, Savior, but bearing in mind, how can we forget something we don't know? We desire to get to know Your law, Lord, to get to know these messages, Lord, to get to know these things that would give us maturing faith, Lord, Savior God. We thank Thee for the fivefold, Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, Savior, for this place that we have, Lord, where we can come, Lord, Father, Lord, and we can, Lord, Savior, glean, Lord, Savior, even in this field, Lord, Savior. No, we need, Lord, Father, You desire for us to be, Lord, Father, even in the way that this place is, Lord, Savior, made up, Lord, Father, to call out those people that was called, Lord, even in this land.
Yes, Lord.
Bless this word to us this night,
Amen.
Lord. Bless our pastor, Lord.
Amen.
Father, You grant him complete, Lord, Savior, restoration, full strength, Lord, from this journey, Lord. Bless him even on this, Lord, Savior, day. Lord, Father, his special day, his birthday, Lord.
Amen.
We pray that You would grant him, Lord, Savior, many, Lord, bright days ahead, Lord.
Amen.
Father, You would fulfill the very purposes, Lord, even of his heart, Lord. Father, for, Lord, Savior, to do Thy will. Father, Lord, is a great portion even amidst his life. Bless his family, bless the journeys to and fro.
Amen.
Father, for all of us as well, Father, bless us in this very place. That, Lord, Father, when all is said and done, Father, one day when we are standing there, Lord, and that role is being called, Lord, Father, how we would stand with pride and think, Lord, Father, Lord, we fulfilled Your will, we fulfilled Your, Lord, Savior, Father, call, Lord, Savior God, bless this word to us, Lord, Savior God, and let us take this word and ponder, Lord, even upon it, Lord, Father, in faith, knowing Thee, Lord, we come Friday again, Lord, and we'd be more than we are today, Lord, Savior, Father, Lord, we ask Your grace, Lord, Father, remembering our brother Ron, Lord, Savior, Father, You know our brother, Lord, once he passed this way.
Amen.
Father, Lord, he ministered, Lord, to many a people, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, he was about Your business, Lord, Savior, when You called him, Lord. Father, we pray Your grace, bless his church, Lord.
Amen.
Bless the brethren, Lord. Bless the plans, Lord, that they will have, Lord, Savior God. Father, we commit all unto Thee, Lord, even upon this day. We have us, even as we part, Father, part with us, Lord, Savior God. And Lord, whatever, Lord, You would desire upon the new day, Lord. Father, if we have strength amidst us, Lord, we just desire, Lord, to fit, Lord, even into the calling that Thou hast called us in, Lord. Lord, knowing in Thee, Lord, in that calling, Lord, then we can have the faith, Lord, that, Lord, Savior, we are called to, Lord, Savior God. Bless us as we part. Keep us, Lord, Savior God. Let me keep this word amidst our heart, Lord, Savior God. Grant us grace always, we pray. Bless all the needs, all the desires, the wishes, Lord. Father, these issues of transport, Lord,
Amen.
We pray that, Lord, Father, in our next service, Lord, Father, more saints will come to Thy house, Lord, Savior God. Give us grace, give us mercy, Lord, Savior God. And lead us always, guide us always, Lord. We thank Thee for meeting with us this night. We bless Your name, Father. Keep us until we meet again.
There's a
I take me.